If gold was the ultimate money, nature's immutable ledger, how did it lose? How did we end up with paper money that governments can print at will? The answer isn't just about economics, it's about physics. And it's about a heist that took place in slow motion over 100 years. You see, gold has major flaws, or bugs, if you will, and not the kind of gold bugs you're used to hearing about. Gold is heavy, it's expensive to secure, and it's incredibly dangerous to transport. Imagine it's the year 1800, and you want to pay a merchant over in London, but you live in New York. To send payment, you have to load heavy bars of metal onto a ship, sail across the Atlantic, risk pirates, storms, and shipwrecks just to settle a transaction. Gold has excellent value density, but terrible velocity. The world needed a way to speed up trade, so we invented a layer 2 solution on top of gold, the banknote. Here's how it worked originally. You take your gold to a bank, a secure warehouse, they put your gold in a vault and give you a piece of paper, a receipt. That receipt said, "The bearer of this note is owed 1 ounce of gold." People realized quickly, I don't need to go get the gold, I can just trade the receipt. This was magic. Paper was light, it was easy to carry, and it moved at the speed of commerce. But here lies the trap. Paper money introduced a new variable into the money equation that gold never had. Trust. You see, with gold, you didn't need to trust anyone. The value was in the coin. It was a bearer asset. With paper, you have to trust the bank. You have to trust that the gold is actually in the vault. And historically, that trust is always broken. Bankers and governments realize something very profitable. If 1,000 people deposit gold, only about 10 of them ever come back to withdraw it on any given day. So the bankers thought, why don't we print more receipts than we have gold? If they have 100 ounces of gold, they print 500 ounces worth of receipts. They lend out the extras and collect interest. This is the birth of fractional reserve banking. For the bank, it's free profit. For you, it's the slow theft of your value. When governments got involved, they took this to the next level. In 1913, the U.S. created the Federal Reserve, centralizing the gold supply. But the real hammer dropped in 1933. President Franklin D. Roosevelt signed Executive Order 6102. It made it illegal for U.S. citizens to own monetary gold. Think about that for a second. The money that humanity had chosen for 5,000 years was suddenly contraband. Citizens were forced to turn in their gold to the government in exchange for paper dollars at a rate of $20.67 per ounce. Once the government had all the gold, they immediately revalued it to $35 an ounce. Overnight, they effectively stole 40% of the population's wealth just by changing the official price. The gold was now trapped in the system, and the people were left holding paper. Fast forward to 1944, the U.S. emerged from World War II as the global superpower. At the Bretton Woods Conference, the world agreed to a new system. All currencies would be pegged to the U.S. dollar, and the U.S. dollar would be pegged to gold.
At Bretton Woods, New Hampshire, delegates from 44 allied and associate countries arrived for the opening of the United Nations Monetary and Financial Conference. Invited by President Roosevelt to the first major world financial meeting since the London Conference of 1933, they will work in the seclusion of this White Mountains resort. To be discussed are plans for the stabilization of world currencies. These meetings are designed to promote trade in the post-war world and to create a foundation for lasting peace.
Foreign nations trusted this. They held dollars in their central bank, believing they could swap them for gold at any time. But politicians are addicted to spending. In the 1960s, the U.S. wanted to fund the Vietnam War and massive social programs at home. They couldn't pay for both with taxes, so they printed more dollars. Lots more dollars. There were now far more paper dollars circulating around the world than there was gold in Fort Knox to back them. The French and other nations did the math. They realized the U.S. was bluffing. They started demanding their gold back.
Le fait que beaucoup d'États acceptent par principe des dollars au même titre que de l'or pour les règlements des différences qui existent à leur profit dans la balance des paiements américaines, ce fait entraîne les Américains à s'endetter et à s'endetter gratuitement vis-à-vis de l'étranger, étant donné les conséquences que pourrait avoir une crise qui surviendrait dans un pareil domaine, nous pensons qu'il faut prendre à temps que les échanges internationaux soient établis comme c'était le cas avant les grands malheurs du monde sur une base monétaire indiscutable et qui ne porte la marque d'aucun pays en particulier. Quelle base ? En vérité, on ne voit pas qu'il puisse y avoir réellement de critères, d'étalons autres que l'or.
They sent ships to New York to redeem their dollars for bullion. The U.S. gold reserves began to drain rapidly. It was a run on the bank at a geopolitical scale. The U.S. had two choices: stop printing money and cause a massive recession, or default on their promise. On August 15th, 1971, President Richard Nixon chose the default.
The strength of a nation's currency is based on the strength of that nation's economy. And the American economy is by far the strongest in the world. Accordingly, I have directed the Secretary of the Treasury to take the action necessary to defend the dollar against the speculators. I have directed Secretary Connally to suspend temporarily the convertibility of the dollar into gold or other reserve assets, except in amounts and conditions determined to be in the interest of monetary stability and in the best interest of the United States.
He announced he was temporarily closing the gold window. He told the world that the U.S. would no longer redeem dollars for gold. It wasn't a policy tweak, it was a breach of contract. In that instant, the entire world was pushed off the gold standard and into a fiat standard. Fiat means by decree. The dollar no longer had value because it was a claim on gold, but because the government said it did, and because we were forced to pay taxes with those dollars. So now, for the first time in human history, the entire planet is running on money that is backed by nothing but faith in politicians. The anchor is gone. The physical restraint, the proof of work that gold provided, was severed. The supply of money is decided by a committee in a boardroom instead of the physical limits of gold production. So what happens when you give a small group of humans the power to print infinite money? What happens to society when the currency itself becomes a political tool? We are living through that experiment right now. And as we'll see in the next video, the consequences are far more terrifying than just paying more at the pump or expensive groceries. So join me in the next video where we'll start the next chapter of our journey, moving from what is money to why Bitcoin exists, as we discuss the failures of fiat money and why something like Bitcoin was destined to be created.